Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we understand finances can be confusing, but you don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I'm joined here by my co-host, George Amador III. Hi, George. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Crystal. It's always good to be here, and we've had a hugely busy month over the last few weeks now, and with impact investing, and I've done a couple radio shows now solo, which has been amazing, but it's been really awesome to just kind of see where the world is going and where we're headed as an office. So we thought it would be a good idea, maybe just kind of take a step down a notch a little and say, okay, busy month. This has been amazing. We recapped impact investing last week. So let's go back to our roots. Let's talk a little bit on some things that are near and dear to us and things that we've started, you started the foundation of this company on, right? The five areas. And so, but I'm really excited to be here. It's always good. So.
All right, wonderful. Well, today what we'll talk about is the five areas where people are losing money unknowingly, because I don't think they do it on purpose. But here's the other thing, it's unnecessarily.
Yeah.
So if they can figure out where it is that they're losing that money and they can stop it, think of the lives that we can change. Think about how different it would be on day to day, in their retirement, and the list goes on. So we want to make sure that today and over the next 2 weeks that we really dive in. We're going to talk about those sacred cows of mortgage. Do we pay it off early or do we just get it as long as we can? We want to talk about college planning and major capital purchases and taxes. We got to talk about taxes too. Sure. What would a show be without taxes involved? But, you know, George, before we get started, there's some questions I want to talk about, because we may say some things that people will hear and say, well, that's not what I heard, or that's not what so-and-so says. And I'm okay that this challenges people's thinking. And one of the reasons why is that I think too many times people in this country are accepting common advice, and what they don't realize is they actually have uncommon income. So uncommon income, you know, it demands that we have uncommon advice.
Yeah.
You know, and studies show that a lot of times when we're hanging out with our friends, we all think that we all make the same amount of money. Yeah. And so when we have a problem, they have a problem, we feel like we're so relatable. And so when we hear advice that's on the TV, or God forbid, it's advice they got on Facebook, but or if it's advice that they heard on the radio, they apply it to their situation, George, because they think, oh yeah, this is gospel, this is what I need to do. And I would challenge our listeners today and our viewers to understand that, wait a minute, there is common advice that's everywhere, and you just may not be in the position where you should be listening to that. You may have uncommon income.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I just want to throw a few numbers out. I know that those who are on radio are saying, I can't see the numbers. Well, don't worry. We'll walk through this together. But here's the question I want you to start thinking about. So kind of think, how much money do I make? Think about it for the year. I know, add up yours, add up your spouse's. Okay, you've got that in your mind? Because I'm going to read some numbers to you. So here's the deal. If you make less than $43,614, let's say the number again, $43,614, if you make more than that, right, more than that, then you're going to be in the top 50% of the United States. Shocker. Because a lot of times people say, no, to be in the top 50%, I have to be making like $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000.
Yeah.
Now let's bring it up another level. In order to be in the top 25% of this whole country, if you make more than $87,000, well, $80,044 to be exact, you're in the top 25%. So again, I'm going to challenge you, think about what is the amount that you're making and see where you fall in this. And we do this all the time in seminars, and we tell people, don't raise your hand if this applies to you. But but as we go through this, let me do another one. If you make more than $151,935, you are in the top 10% of this nation. Now, I'm just going to stop there just for a second. If we have all this advice that's going on out there, and yet we just proved if you make more than $151,935, you're in the top 10%, then why are you taking investment and tax advice and all kinds of advice with your finances if you shouldn't, you're not even in that category?
Yeah. And let me just say something to that too. You know, take it down from not even just the actual dollar amount, but mm-hmm. let's think about this for a moment, right? We all know of the six-figure mark, right? Everyone talks, am I making six figures?
Yes.
So what you just said is that if I make less than six figures, right,
mm-hmm.
that I'm actually underneath, I'm in the 90% area. Over six figures, I'm in the 10%, right? The mm-hmm. six-figure mark is a big mental thing for a lot of people, right? So you look at it and go from 50 grand or for 43,000 all the way up to basically the six-figure mark, $100,000. That's the 50 to 25% bracket for mm-hmm. a lot of people, right? It's interesting to me because people will go, oh, I want to make the six figures. I want to make the six figures. But if you're listening to the advice of the 80, 90% of the advice out there, you can see, right? It doesn't actually work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting, right? Because you use the numbers and it's great. But I think about that mentally. Like, we all want to be at that six-figure mark. A lot of people will say
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're so limited, I will say, in the amount of advice you should be listening to at the six-figure level because we think, oh, it's just the one percenters of the world, when it's really not.
Yeah, let's dive in on that, because a lot of times people will say, well, I'll just take the generic advice, and they're not realizing, no, you need to start now. We need to be sitting down and talking about if you even qualify for a Roth, if we should be doing a Roth conversion, how you should be setting up your retirement plan, how you should be paying for your house, all these different areas, because you're at a place where you have uncommon income.
Yeah.
You need that uncommon advice.
Yeah.
And when we talk on the radio, a lot of times, gee, we'll talk about specific things, but to dive really deep, that's when we need to be meeting one-on-one with an individual and saying, okay. And we can tell right away when they come in, they begin saying, and this is what I have over here, here's what my income is. If they've told us they're making more than $152,000 adjusted gross income, the two of them together, mm-hmm. we know they need uncommon advice, which I would dare say we excel in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's important to understand. And I say this all the time, conceptually speaking, it's personal finance means it's personal finance, right? It's personal mm-hmm. to you. And that's the thing. It's not water cooler finance. It's not everybody's finances. Mm-mm. It's personal finance. And we have to be in a position where, you know, your financial advisor needs to be saying things that aren't just the things you read in the Facebook posts and the mm-hmm. news every single day. Don't get me wrong. Some of that stuff works very well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the other 50% of the country is at $40,000 of income or less. So a lot of people need that advice mm-hmm. for sure. That's a big market for the people out there who are trying to mass market to everybody, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, the person coming in making 150 or more
mm-hmm.
can't take all of that advice they read in the blogs and Facebook and mm-hmm. everything else, because of the fact that, like you said, it's uncommon income for uncommon advice. And I'll just say it even further, it's personal to you. Like
mm-hmm.
the advice we have to have. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and we were going through his financial plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, we need to do, you know, insurance over here and investments over here and an annuity over here, all this other stuff. We went through a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
And as I explained it all, he literally said, I love how you're planning for every single hole, or he meant gap, in
yes.
the financial plan.
Mm-hmm.
I love how you're covering every gap. So there's nothing that you're not thinking about. I said, yeah, absolutely. That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes from this place of, it's not just common advice. I can't give every single person who walks in the room the same advice that I gave that gentleman
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't work.
Right.
And so we have to cover the gaps. But like you said, uncommon income requires uncommon advice, and that's what a CFP is good at.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then we want to add another thing on to that, because when you look at individuals who are making $150,000 and above, from that level on, they're carrying about 70% of the taxes in this nation. So think about that. Do you think I now need to do special uncommon tax planning with these individuals that are making six figures? Absolutely.
Sure.
And I think a lot of times people think, well, only tax planning, that's only if you make multi-millions.
No.
Well, yeah, you want to make sure you do tax planning if you're doing that. But if you are over that six-figure line, there are things that we can begin doing. In fact, we can start sooner if we need to.
Sure.
But that's a specific area. If they're carrying that much of the tax burden, there's got to be some planning.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about some of the uncommon advice that we do give.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, I've got to circle back. You know me. I want to make sure those that are making $42,000 and below, that they don't feel like they're not important.
Sure.
Because they absolutely are. I
100%.
Can't tell you how many clients have come into my office. I'm thinking of a client that is going to be retiring. They're now a millionaire. And they had said, I remember coming to you, Crystal, and we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And you told me that you go to a financial advisor to get the insight to become wealthy.
Mm.
You don't wait till you're wealthy and then go to a financial advisor.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. And here they are today. Now, truth is, they had to apply the principles that were taught to them. But so I don't want anyone listening to feel like, oh, this is only for six-figure people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I remember when, and you know my story, and I won't go into the whole thing, I promise. But I can tell you this, is that when we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We had half a nickel, a buffalo nickel. We had something, but barely anything.
Yeah.
And going to advisors, and the humiliation that you feel when they look at what you have and it's nothing, and they say, oh, we can't work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they equated my self-worth with my net worth. That whole thing messes with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes you kind of shut down and say, well, I'm not going to reach out for help ever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the worst thing that we can do. So even though we're going to talk about five areas that people are losing money unnecessarily and unknowingly,
mm-hmm.
I want to invite all of our listeners to participate in it, no matter where they are in this discussion,
sure.
because I want them to hear uncommon advice so that they can say, okay, I know the steps I need to take and walk the journey to create wealth.
Yeah.
So let's just make sure that we have that said.
Totally.
And then let's go ahead. We'll take a quick 30-second break. And then when we come back, drum roll, please. We will do the first of the five areas where people lose money unknowingly and unnecessarily. And we'll be back in just 30 seconds with more crystal clear finances.
When people can't meet life's challenges, they need others. GoFundMe is an example of crowdsourcing compassion designed to meet a specific need. But what if we could go farther? What if we could address community needs, community concerns, create community impact? We can and we do. At Crystal Clear Finances, we are investing in companies seeking to protect our environment, search for cancer cures, and create products that bring value. Investing does not have to trade rate of return. It's not just for the good of one. Investing, when done properly, can benefit all. Learn more at crystalclearfinances.com. Gain confidence for every financial decision.
And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon, and yes, I am hogging the mic today because you had George all last week, and you didn't get to hear my voice, and I didn't get to talk. So, hey, I am here today. So glad to be part of this program, but so thankful that George was able to. Every month now, I'm seeing that there's just one where I'm kind of not here. But that's a good thing because George is a certified financial planner. He knows his stuff, and his heart is to help people. And so as we go into our discussion today, G, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's talk about that first area where people are unaware of that they're losing some money.
Yeah, absolutely. So the five areas that we're going to go over this whole discussion is mortgages, taxes, 401ks, education, and major capital purchases. These are areas, and I would venture a guess, as I said all five of those, it applies to you somewhere.
Yes.
In one of those areas that you are maybe losing money, unknowingly and unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. And so today's program is really about mortgages. Today's program is going into a little bit about where are some of the common areas that we mm-hmm. do see people losing money unknowingly and unnecessarily. And I would say that that idea, right, where people are losing money, is not something to where we have to always find extra money mm-hmm. to fill in the problem,
right?
It's something to where if we're losing money, if we can see where we're losing money, mm-hmm. stop the bleeding, now I have extra money that I can use for other things. And so that's kind of what we're trying to point out in this, is the five areas that you can kind of look at your own personal life and go, oh man, I actually should look at this and give us a call and go through it. So I think as we talk about mortgages, the first thing, though, that I really want to talk about to understand the whole idea of losing money unknowingly, unnecessarily, has to come from the concept of the wealth creator concept, right?
Yes.
It has to come from the person that we are, because culture has always taught us about two people, mm-hmm. the spender and the saver. We're either one of those two people, right? We've been taught that from elementary school.
Right.
I either spend my money or I save my money. But there's a third person that mm-hmm. exists that we can become, who's the wealth creator. And this person is a person who separates themselves from the very famous zero line, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the three, so that way we can kind of jump into that.
So we're all at a zero line, usually when we come out of college, though lately with $100,000 of debt, maybe not. But there's a place in life where we're at zero. We don't really owe anything and we don't own anything. But then we want something. Mm-hmm. We need a new car. I happened to hear that you were talking about a car when I walked into the radio booth today.
Yep.
So let's say that you get a car, and what happens is when individuals buy one, they go into debt if they didn't pay cash for it. And then they spend the next 5 years, G, the next 5 years, not getting ahead. They're spending 5 years just to get back to zero.
Yeah.
And they repeat this pattern over and over. And unfortunately, many Americans live their entire life below the zero line, where it's I get in debt, I'm going to work my way out of debt to get back to zero, and then I get in debt again. But there comes some time in life where you draw that line in the sand and you say, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to take public transportation. I'm going to do whatever I need to do, but I am not getting into debt until I have the resources, and then I'll buy that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, now you are a saver. So a saver will save their money. They'll scrimp and save, do whatever they need to, so that when the purchase comes, their bank account is nice and big, and then it goes right down to zero.
Yeah.
So they also are controlled by the zero line, G, mm-hmm. because the debtor goes into debt and works its way back to zero, and the saver spends up, and then spends it, and then they go back to zero. So they both are connected to the zero line, which is kind of a scary thought when you think about it.
Yeah.
That means everything we've been taught since childhood about, hey, be a saver or a spender, and usually they say a saver.
Yeah.
Well, what good has it done me if I'm still going to end up at zero?
Yeah, well, I would also say to that, that's where when people are like, oh, I'm so stuck in this cycle, mm-hmm. I don't know how to get out of it, it's because you're one of those two people. You're
yes.
You're either the spender cycle
mm-hmm.
or the saver cycle, but either way, you feel like you can never get ahead, and that's the cycle that you have to break free from.
Absolutely. I know what broke that cycle for me. I remember I bought this 200-year-old farmhouse, and we bought it, and of course, because we knew everything, G, and so we were going to fix it up, even though our parents said, oh, that's a money pit, and we're like, no, we know better at 20-something years old. So anyways, so I remember saving and saving and saving. Took me 13 years, G, of saving because I wanted this ideal kitchen and my bank account was so high. And I began writing checks. I wanted to have the granite countertops and I wanted this and I wanted that. And before you knew it, I was down to zero.
Mm.
And it was at that day, even though I looked around this beautiful kitchen and loved it, I realized I am tied to the zero line.
Yeah.
And I began to think, are the wealthy people of this country, do they do a kitchen and then they're down to zero? And something made me think that probably Trump doesn't go down to zero if his wife redoes a kitchen.
Yeah.
So what do they know that I don't know? Because I was following all the rules.
Yeah.
And it was at that time, George, that I said, oh, there's got to be a third way.
Yeah.
A third category, which is the wealth creator. The wealth creator says, hey, wait a minute. Why don't I learn the skill set of being able to leverage my money, mm-hmm. make my money work really hard for me, mm-hmm. and while my money's working hard for me, I can use someone else's money because what I pay them in interest is so small compared to what I'm making.
Yeah.
And I realized I need to pursue, and that's the word, pursue becoming a wealth creator. But when we sit down with our clients and we show them the zero line and we show them the red line that goes below or the green line of the mm-hmm. saver, you'll notice in the beginning, it looks like the wealth creator is losing to a saver.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, then why would I ever want to be a wealth creator? And that's the problem. Most people look at things from a 1 year, maybe a 2 year, and they say, oh, it didn't work for me. But if you can look at a longer period of time, you begin to realize the power that you have when you become a wealth creator. If you will pay the price now, if you will become a saver who understands the principles of a wealth creator and apply them, then years from now, you're going to be able to live disconnected from the zero line. You'll be able to redo that kitchen. You'll be able to retire. You'll be able to accomplish these things and never fear that, oh, it just went back to zero again.
Yeah.
And I think that's such an important concept. That is a life-changing. We could just stop the radio now. That is a life-changing principle.
It is. It absolutely is. And that's where having to understand that principle, right? And that's how money works. And we want to always talk and educate our clients about these things is because that's where you take that principle and can apply it. And I would mm-hmm. say the number one area where you can apply this principle mm-hmm. is in your mortgage. Think about this, right? So for a moment, most people, right, are going to go into debt to buy a house.
Right.
Because most people don't have $200,000 laying in cash around to buy a house.
Right.
And if we're going to be wealth creators, we shouldn't take all 200 grand and pay for our house and then mm-mm. go back to zero. Right.
Right.
So here's the first place where most people, especially people listening to this who own a home, can actually take this concept and use it practically in their own life. And it's through your mortgage. And this is where people lose money unknowingly and unnecessarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to a place where we have this mortgage and some people will say, well, I'm going to save as much money as humanly possible, get the biggest down payment possible so I can have the smallest loan possible.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the reasoning behind that because mm-hmm. we think, okay, if I have less to pay to the bank,
mm-hmm.
well, then I'm going to be able to save more money. However, what we forget about is the opportunity cost or the
yes.
opportunity that I lose by giving the bank all of those dollars.
Right.
And so now what I've done is I've really not been able to separate myself because I'm trying to save my interest. And so I'm just going to, you know, get the smallest mortgage ever, not pay the bank, but I'm losing out on the ability to make money. So we have to look at it and say, okay, well, what about the individual who's going to say then, well, I'll go ahead and I'll finance every single piece of this as much as humanly possible. I'm not going to put any money down. And now what ends up happening is you have a person who has a mortgage payment that they can't afford. Right? And so they're like, I like the concept, George. I'm not going to give the bank any of my dollars. But now life goes on. All of a sudden, COVID-19 happens and we're mm-hmm. out of work and mm-hmm. you know the car needs fixing and I have an unforeseen medical expense. And it's like, now my mortgage is totally suffocating me. And
right.
it's like, what am I going to do? So there has to be a balance. But I bring this up practically because there is a balance
mm-hmm.
and it's about finding the right piece that you can have in the bank with the down payment that you're mm-hmm. going to need to use, but then the right piece to finance. If we can figure out the best route for you
mm-hmm.
that comes through, where's your credit? You know, how much of a down payment are you going to put? How's your debt to income ratio? All these things that we can walk through a client with to go,
mm-hmm.
are you ready to buy the house this much? To figure out the best way to go for the mortgage. And then apply the concept of the wealth creator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've given the bank the money I'm comfortable with. I have the mortgage payment that's affordable. Now the next person says, well, I'm just going to start prepaying this sucker down as much as I possibly can because I don't want the debt. I don't want the debt. I don't want the debt. And what we've done
mm-hmm.
is we've become one of the two people again.
Yeah.
We're now taking all of our extra dollars. we're not giving ourselves the ability mm-hmm. to make money with those dollars. And in fact, what I'm doing really is giving the bank my most valuable dollar mm-hmm. for them to go make money with. And so what I would rather see happen is clients go, okay, here's a mortgage we can afford.
Mm-hmm.
This extra money, instead of prepaying my mortgage down to get it down as fast as possible, I'm going to go find a place where I can make money. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go find a place that I can make more than my mortgage payment, that I can make more than the interest rate to the bank. Why? Rather than trying to save me some interest, if I can use that money and compound my interest to something greater, I'll have more money left over in the bank than what was going to save me in the first place. So anybody, whether you're about to buy a house or you own a house right now with a mortgage, you mm-hmm. can take the concept of the wealth creator very practically day one and say, okay, I have this money. George Crystal, how do I become that wealth creator? Where can I put those extra dollars so it can make me money instead of save me some, hopefully, some interest over time?
Well said. And what you just said, as those of you who are listening, was a mouthful because there were a lot of really good truths in there. So what I want to do is I want to unpack this for a moment, because what happens a lot of times, George, and you know this, is individuals will say, well, I don't want to pay anyone interest. So listen, this is the deal in life. You're either going to pay interest or you're going to collect interest.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is people say, well, I don't want to pay the bank interest on this mortgage that I'm paying. Let's just say it's 4%, whatever it is, and have this other money that's mine over here that's getting no interest. So mm-hmm. they're just looking at that and say, why would I not do that? I think that goes back to where we started the program of uncommon advice, because people are under the assumption that their cash can't make them money.
Yeah, yeah.
But you true. And I know, wait a minute, your cash can make them money. In fact, we can position the cash outside the market in a way that earns more than what they're paying on their mortgage.
For sure.
Now that changes the equation, because now you can look at it and say, oh, well, I don't mind paying that bank the mortgage payment and the interest because I know I'm making more interest on my money that I kept over here. Why would I want to prepay?
Yeah.
Those are all reasons that we've got to get into our mind. You're either going to pay interest or collect interest. Which way are you going? And when people think there's no way to make money on my cash, they quickly try to pay off the interest so that they're out of that situation.
Yeah.
They just need proper positioning.
It's exactly that, because you're looking for the place that's costing you versus, well, where can I make, right? That's the biggest difference is, you know, take for example, and here's where it comes down to. When you're paying interest, mm-hmm. you're on some sort of amortization schedule.
Yes.
And that all that means is I pay more interest up front and I pay less interest later, right?
Right.
The bank does that to us because they want to recoup their money faster.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to charge us more interest now, and then later they're going to charge us less interest. Well, when I collect interest, I'm not on that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on what's called a compound interest schedule, which is much, much greater than an amortized schedule where I pay more now and less later. So if I can take my money and compound it,
mm-hmm.
keep the same percentage every single year, but think about the compound principle is if I have a dollar and it turns into $2, right? I double my money. Well, I'm going to keep the same rate of return. I'm going to double it again, but now it's on $2. So two goes to four goes to eight goes
exactly.
to 16, et cetera. Why is that the case? Because we're compounding. We're not paying more and then less. That's really important to understand
mm-hmm.
because as we get a house and pay a mortgage,
right.
we're on the amortized schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pay more interest up front. So if I'm going to pay more interest up front, it's going to, yes, cost me over time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've run the numbers and I will run them with you in
oh,
my
absolutely.
Office.
Absolutely, we do this
all
the
long.
Time.
You will make more money compounding
mm-hmm.
interest
mm-hmm.
than you will save by paying extra to amortized interest, right? That's the goal. The goal is position yourself to collect interest, to compound your money.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, yeah, you know what? I'm going to save, maybe I'll save $10,000, maybe I'll save $20,000 over the life of my mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could make $30,000, $40,000 on that money, wouldn't you take that offer instead?
Exactly. But I think many times, George, and we'll have to wrap up with this, is that people don't know that they have that option. They're listening to the common advice out there,
yep.
and it's costing them thousands and could cost them their retirement.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we're here, because we want people to make sure that they have confidence when they're making the financial decisions. They know, hey, I know this is a decision that is right for me and my family.
Absolutely.
Well, we're at the end of our time together. We're going to need a quick close, but I want to invite everyone to join us again next week. We're going to continue to talk about the five areas where people are losing money unknowingly and unnecessarily. I want to thank those that are on YouTube. Click subscribe. And those of you who are listening to me on radio, why aren't you watching me on YouTube? Go over there and then subscribe, like us, follow us, and start growing even more. So we'll tune again and reminding you that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless. This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.